Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Cowboys injured, but are they getting some reinforcements as we open Hour 5 of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan? And how good of the quality are these reinforcements? Let's discuss it. Got some Cowboys news here for you. Fan After Dark coming up at 7 o'clock. All signs pointing towards Jaden Blue playing this week still, Brian?
I think so, yeah.
Expectation-wise, under 5 carries, maybe a catch and a half. Would you take the over on any of that?
I would think that they want to get him involved. So I'll go the over on the 5 carries.
What is it that he does differently as far as the type of player compared to Javonte Williams when they talk about one complementing another?
To and through the hole, man. This guy's got some burst. He's got some balance. He's a tough runner, but his ability to finish runs, like you get him in the open field, and there's been times, as Eric's talked about during the week, where the Jets don't tackle particularly well, and you know, here's a guy that can kind of break tackles but you get him in the open field, he's capable of taking it all the way.
It's really crazy he has not played yet, considering how Miles Sanders got snatched.
How fresh he is right now.
Yeah, and fast. Yeah,
it'll be good, yeah.
You know, when Zach Bond, who had a 40 time 0.2 seconds slower than you did, caught you in week one, I would have just left Miles Sanders in Philadelphia, where I'm pretty sure it's still his offseason home. Mm-hmm. I'm like, we're done here. We're going to Jaden Blue. But, you know, I find the story fascinating because we dug in over the summer after what Glenn Stretch Smith said, that maybe he was borderline lazy. And the only things we turned up was maybe that there was some maturity type stuff going on. But there's no real big red flags.
No, he just, you know, he played in a system at Texas where, you know, he was working with some other backs. That's what they do in college football. He wasn't the bell cow guy, but you know, when they picked him in the 5th round, I think for the most part, we were excited on the draft show. You know, the coverage we had on 105.3 The Fan and DallasCowboys.com, we were excited when he got picked. You know, we're thinking this is a 3rd-round player. This is a guy that you know, like what I was talking about, he runs the ball tough. The biggest problem with him was the fumbling stuff.
Yeah.
That was the turnovers were the biggest thing, and that was there wasn't really nobody I heard said, well, you know, and Glenn talked about being lazy and things like that. I just think that there are things that, is he lazy as far as, you know, getting in the playbook and learning the assignment? I mean, we had Jake Ferguson early and talking about what he goes through on a nightly basis to kind of check the night before what they're going to do the next day. I don't know if Jadon Blue's that guy, but you know, maybe he is now. Maybe he's kind of figured out, like, hey, if I'm going to play, I'm going to have to learn what's going on, because coaches aren't going to put you out there if you don't know what you're going to do. Because you get your MVP quarterback hurt because you miss a blitz pickup or an assignment, you're never going to play again if that happens. And I think that's the biggest concern with this young man.
Well, if you could just avoid a big mistake, a turnover, missed assignments, hopefully, because you're right, there was such excitement. And throughout the entire summer, we're thinking this is going to be great. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you get the reports and then we get through training camp and he's hurt a couple of times, so he can't get out there in preseason. But I never saw anything from Javonte Williams and Miles Sanders or anybody else in camp that would make me think they're talented, they're a better option to give the ball to than Jaden Blue.
This is where we missed Williams. And I say we. Brian brought us Miss Williams.
No, we all did.
Well, you know, I was talking to Sean Payton. You know what the story is. He's like, Brian, give him a chance. You know, I'm like, okay, coach, whatever. Where I missed him is he was a guy that when they put on pads and the game started, you didn't see that. You saw, you know, you don't tackle anybody in camp.
Yeah.
You kind of bounce off guys. And it's when it became tackle football that he excelled. And that's where I missed him, where I'm thinking, well, this guy's slow. He's not going to be able to, whatever. But when it became tackle football, he became a real player. And that's where I didn't see it.
Yeah.
That's where I missed him the most.
For sure.
Tackle football guy is much better than T-shirt helmet guy.
Yeah. Yeah, because he brings that element of physicality that we almost didn't even realize he had, but it's been on full display now through the first four games of the season. But he's not the most explosive guy.
Nope.
He's a really good running back. Go get you four or five yards a pop and keep you as the number one rushing success rate offense in the league right now. Yeah. But I think
the quarterback has, I believe, really benefited from having him there.
Oh, absolutely.
That element of just being able to hand him the ball and get 4 to 5 yards every time. You can't ask for more from that.
But Jaden Blue is the type of guy that has the skill set to be able to create some explosives for you, and whether it be in the passing game or in the run game, hopefully he's not fumbling. Hopefully he can stay healthy. Hopefully he knows his assignments.
Yeah,
but in terms of like what he was coming out, I mean, he's a sub 4.340 guy. Mm-hmm. This was an incredible running back class, and he was number one in the class when it comes to the percentage of his rushing yards that were after contact.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So we think of him as like a speed demon explosive guy, which he is, but he was breaking plenty of tackles at Texas.
And making a miss, too.
Yeah, 4 yards a carry after contact per rush. Mm. And then what he did out of the backfield obviously speaks for itself, and you saw glimpses of it in training camp. When he wasn't banged up, you saw it in the preseason game when they finally gave him a little something there. And you can just tell the explosiveness is totally different with him.
Yeah, and he's a different kind of player than anybody else they got on their team. So,
and without Turpin, without Lamb, you absolutely need an element of that.
I mean, it's too soon to think they're going to have a package of plays in there to try to exploit the athleticism and turn him into a star of the game, right? Like, that's...
They'll probably keep things as simple as possible for him when he's in there. I think they have to be somewhat mindful of that until they kind of get him going.
But, I mean, the wheel route, you got to break that out a couple of times.
I'd throw him a screen.
All right.
I'd let him slip that screen and then get out in the flat and see what you got.
NFL.com has some QB power rankings. Is Dak enjoying a resurgence? They did go Allen, Mahomes, Herbert, Jackson, then Dak, but they labeled it in tiers and they got Dak in the top tier. Saying that the record doesn't suggest it, but Dak's having a fantastic season, put together an excellent performance in the tie of the Packers and all that, and yada, yada, yada. Prescott's firing some unbelievable passes into tight windows, propelling the offense even with C.D. Lamb sidelined. That was the biggest difference, is your weapons are down, your offensive line is as porous as it's ever been, and it just did not seem to bother Dak Prescott. I think that's offensive coaching, you know, getting him clear windows early, but also the receivers winning. And I don't know if we've always seen that to the extent they were able to win against Green Bay. So taking Turpin out, it's crazy how good he has gotten at getting open. And he's kind of become one of Dak's trusted guys that he can go to on money downs. And, you know, this test against the Jets shouldn't be the hardest. Brought us previewed New York's defense in depth back there at 3:40 Krusty's Corner, if you want to go back with the Odyssey app or YouTube. And it's one good corner. So I think it does come down to Flannoy and Tolbert and Jake Ferguson and maybe some Jaden Blue. You want some crusty Cowboys news?
Please.
Okay. I think a lot of folks my age and older are going to enjoy this one. 13 greats from the Cowboys past were on the first list of 162 senior nominees for the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 26. This is the first year they're doing this. Five of those Cowboys legends are among the 52 advancing to the next round. Canton's seniors category is reserved for players who have appeared in a professional football game no more recently than 25 years ago for this cycle. The cutoff is the 2000 season. Pretty cool. You like the Hall of Fame making room for these old guys?
Yeah, absolutely. Some of these guys are the pillars of the National Football League. Just need to be rewarded for it.
Leroy Jordan should be a Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
Everson Walls, Cubby.
Yep, I fist bump with him every day.
Harvey Martin, no doubt about it.
That's my number one guy.
Ed Too Tall Jones, get him in there.
But I tell you what, incredible player. But Harvey Martin, I thought Harvey Martin was better.
Yeah?
Yeah, okay. I mean, both tremendous players. But as a kid, Harvey Martin was tremendous.
And then should Dandy Don Meredith be in the Hall?
God, just a little bit before my time. I mean, I was 5 years old when he was quarterbacking, but I think that, you know, if you talked about the Hall of Fame, he's probably known more as a broadcaster than he is a quarterback.
Yeah.
But he did take his team to NFC championship games, much like Danny White, you know, in NFC championship. He took his team to NFL championship games before we had the Super Bowls and stuff like that. You know, he got beat in the Ice Bowl and they got beat at a game in the Cotton Bowl where they had the ball down on the goal line and couldn't score. So he might
hell
have been
of a player.
He might have been a two-time SMU zone, by the way, with school over here at SMU. Mount Pleasant, Texas is where he's from, too.
My dad would sing that to us almost every night when it was time for bed. Turn out the lights, the party's over.
He's a heck of a player.
What do the Cowboys say about their most disruptive defensive player playing less than a quarter of the snaps? That's your guy, James Houston, at 22% of defensive snaps. That was actually higher than what I thought it was going to be. But Eberflus said we probably should give him some more playing time.
Huh. You think?
We've been talking about it since week one.
Yeah, that's a little bit slow. I don't know if there's a more indictable offense for Matt Eberflus than his edge player rotation. It's just so dang disruptive. The speed, the power, the moves, total package. And it's interesting that James Houston was so available considering the production that he had earlier in his career. Then it was just injuries, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Clayton Adams, when asked about how comfortable he is putting so much on Dak Prescott's shoulders, quote, "There's nobody else I'd rather have." As I think Dak is playing at that level where internally it's like, no, this is our guy. We're going to war with him, and there's not a big enough gap compared to other guys that you would want anybody else. The Cowboys are uncertain about Kenneth Murray's availability for Sunday. Limited yesterday with a knee. They're also without safety Malik Hooker.
Yeah.
I mean, Kenneth Murray has made some nice plays. I think he's probably one of their better linebackers, but they're all just collectively so poor in their jobs that I don't think this has an impact at all. I'm kind of excited about seeing somebody else get the opportunity.
Yeah, they're going to roll some other cats out there. We might see Damone Clark get back out there some. You know, he was a healthy scratch last week, but yeah, it could be with Shamar James and Maris Leofau for sure could get more opportunities.
They really need to go find the linebacker that can drop in zone, can run up the seam and cover two.
I'd say it'd be nice to be able to have Overshown because that linebacker could be the fifth rusher. They just don't have the pass rusher but how much is Eberflus going to bring? In this game, if you bring blitz, you've got a chance to get home because they've had some issues here. But I'd love to see them have somebody that they need some guys that can really, really close and really, really run. That's why getting James on the field, I think, is a good thing for them.
Okay, Brandon Aubrey wins NFC Special Teams Player of the Month. That's awesome. 9-9, 64 yarder was the longest. Nick Harris tweeting, another feat that he had that went under the radar, 3 landing zone touchbacks against Green Bay, the most of any kicker in one game this season. So he's not only booming it, but he's got incredible control. He's straight and depth control as well. So
5-tool kicker, man.
So that's the deal where you bounce it like on the 2 or 3 yard line and then it just goes in the end zone. You bounce it in the zone. It's not a straight kick into the zone or a straight kick into the end zone, right?
Right. It's got to land.
It's a short
between hop, the 20 and the goal line.
Short hop, boom, in, and then you're.
And the return man still has to pick that up, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a live ball.
Go ask Caleb Johnson.
Yeah.
Cool story by Joseph Hoyt in the morning news. Wanye Thomas's brother
is playing on the Jets.
Plays with the Jets.
Yeah.
Azariah Thomas.
Yep.
Wanye posted on X Tuesday
with quarterback.
A simple message. He said, "Don't call my phone all week." Azariah actually called him the next day and was talking crazy, but I told him, "You're going to see it, bro. You are going to see it." And probably warning him about the Cowboys pass game there with George Pickens. But yeah, his brother is a rookie corner there for the Jets, and it's a cool story if you want to read it from Joseph
Hoyt. Third round pick.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he going to play this week?
Yeah, he's a guy that kind of fits into what they're trying to do. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Abrupt retirement from a Colts defensive back. Stop me if you've heard this one before. Who was it? Vontae Davis back in 2019 quit at halftime?
Yeah.
Xavien Howard, not quite that, but said he's putting his family first, and after 4 weeks, he shut it down. The 32-year-old informing the Colts of his decision to retire on the heels of a much criticized performance against Puka Nacua.
That's what it was. I was going to say this is because of having to deal with Puka Nacua.
And Xavien Howard was a really good player for a spell, wasn't he?
Yeah. Oh yeah. He was really good. Out of Baylor, good corner for the Dolphins. I want to say he was a second round pick. Got his hands on a lot of footballs for a couple of seasons, getting the interceptions. But he's been banged up, and he's kind of had a weird career.
Looks like he's ready to go be a dad. The double chin, triple double himself, Luka Doncic, on being in shape with the Lakers. Quote, "It's not just physical shape, it's mental shape too."
Both are very important. We're doing it in practice. It was great. Everybody's in great shape. Everybody's running a lot. So it has been great so far, perhaps taking a step in his maturity. That kind of sounds like he's getting coached by Shoddy.
Yeah, yeah. He's finally trying to lock in now. Mm-hmm. The maturation. I do think him being traded was like a...
Was that the kick in the butt?
Yeah, that was no question. Because we know how Luka is when it comes to kind of being the assassin and like being vengeful. We've seen it late in games. The crowd gets after him on the road, and he feeds off of that. Nico is now that every day. He's probably got a photo of him on the mirror.
Yeah.
Sees it every day to remind him, hey, this is what you're doing it for.
Yeah, yeah, but I
spite Nico Harrison.
Yeah, that trade can be very motivating, and that motivation can stick for a long time. I think maybe George Pickens is benefiting from that. Maybe Micah Parsons is. I saw confirmation today he's not going to do his podcast at all. He's done.
Yeah.
So,
at least some for the season, I think.
For the season.
Or you can't find a studio up in Green Bay, I guess.
Maybe that too. Although
I'm
sure Bleacher Report would come out to his house and build one out for him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fox Sports or somebody.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mavs training camp. Daniel Gafford's going to miss some camp time with a sprained ankle. You also have PJ Washington bonked heads with Jaden Hardy, but said he's going to be, you know, okay. I guess just not a good omen for a team hoping to stay healthy after last year's debacle there, the 39-43 season besieged by injuries. All righty, it's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, and I believe it's time for an evening sports hodgepodge, Eric.
Yes, sir. We have some MLB postseason stats of the day for you, plus some really heartbreaking local culinary news. Next.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next here in the nation.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. G-Bag Nation segment is brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Here's Eric with your sports hodgepodge.
Yes, sir. Plenty to get to. MLB postseason and, of course, a little GTS right after this.
TJ Houshmandzadeh, could you just rate my guy here on a scale of 1 to 10?
You don't think it's rude what you just did?
So who's literally listening to this anyway? Is anyone listening?
Well, it
to
is
guys?
The home of the Cowboys.
Well, no one, exactly. We no one's thousands. Listening.
I did a radio show when I first got here, and they told me I was fat.
The brisket sando, that is hard to beat.
LeVar, you want to get in on this?
I'm not in on that. Rude mother.
Ooh, he almost cussed.
Then they called me the Girthquake or some stupid.
I do like the Girthquake. That's a nice nickname.
Don't be
little shock jock stuff.
All right, it's time to guess that spread. Week 5 NFL edition, Thursday night football. Rams hosting the banged up, battered MASH unit. Niners brought us. Guess
this,
that spread.
This is going to be, they're too banged up. This is Rams minus 7.5.
8.5, Chief. Ding!
Bang, bang, bang.
Dawson's 1-0.
Okay, now
I looked at it earlier.
Have you guys seen it for the Cowboys?
Oh,
yeah. I looked at it earlier.
You guys seen it for the Cowboys Jets
game? 1.5?
In favor of?
The Cowboys.
Make it 2.5. Okay. Cowboys favored.
Right. Ooh, public coming in.
Road faves. All right, the Dolphins head to Carolina for a nooner. Dawson, guess that spread.
Yikes.
That game's going to be a masterpiece of dog ass.
Carolina minus 1.5. Rodas?
I'm going to say Dolphins minus 2.5.
Dolphins by 1.5. Road faves. Bryce nice Young's job, been playing like butt. All right, breakfast ball, Sunday morning, live from London, Browns and Vikings, neutral site.
Vikings goodness. Have been overseas for 2 weeks now.
That's true.
Used to it. I'm taking the under.
Circadian rhythm.
What do you got?
I'm taking the under on the over-under, no matter what it is.
Okay. What do you say?
Bro, it's 36.5. And you're probably right. Broadest, guess that spread, damn it.
I'm going to go Minnesota minus 3.5.
Minnesota minus 2.5.
Brought us nailed it. Nice work, boys. Okay, you get the Texans going to Baltimore to take on the Fighting Cooper Rushes. Oof. Dawson, guess that spread.
Baltimore minus 2.
I think Baltimore, man, Baltimore banged up. Baltimore minus 4.
Houston, 2.5 point road favorite. Ooh, how about that? Right,
wow.
Ravens
the mighty
are down
have fallen.
That bad.
That's a shame.
Battle of disgust. Giants go to the Superdome, take on those Saints, where Jackson Dart has an extra chip on his shoulder because
Jackson
the Saints,
Dart about to win his second game.
Saints passed him up.
They did pass him. Giants minus two.
Wow. Dawson.
Well, Neighbors is out. I'm gonna go Saints minus one.
Saints minus 1.5.
Ah.
1.5 point home faves. This is gonna be a big one. Also in the noon slate, Broncos go to filthy. Dawson, guess that spread.
Turds minus 4.5.
Broadus.
Minus three.
3.5. Eagles as the favorite. All right, Raiders-Colts. Broadus, guess that spread. Colts at home.
Oh, Colts minus six.
Dawson?
I'll take 4.5, Indy.
6.5, Indy, favored, rocking and rolling.
I'm not believing.
If it wasn't for Adonai Mitchell, they'd be undefeated right now. All right, this is one of the biggest ones as well. The Bucks go to Seattle. Ooh. Baker versus Sammy D. Dawson, guess that spread.
The Seahawks are a 2.5 point favorite in this game, Chief.
Broadus?
Seahawks minus one.
Seahawks favored by 3.5. Favored by 3.5.
Nice little team there.
Sam Darnold's playing legit. And yeah, they
can't run it.
Their defense is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not running it
too well. The Ravens DC that came over a couple of years ago has this thing put together.
Yeah, Mike McDonald's the real deal. All right, let's see. Oh, we got the Commanders. The return of Jaden Daniels going to take on Justin Herbert and the Chargers in L.A. brought us. Guess that spread.
That'd be Chargers minus three.
This is Washington at L.A. Chargers. Joe Altout, sprained ankle. Wow, this one's tough. I'll take Chargers minus 3.5.
Chargers by 2.5.
Okay.
You get the biggest spread of the week. The Lions go to Cincinnati. Battle of the Cats. Dawson, guess that spread.
Lions are in Cincinnati?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. 13.5?
Brought it.
Yeah, 16.5.
No, this is two touchdowns. This is 14. Lions minus 14.
Okay, believe it or not, it's, I say only. Only 10.5 as Detroit being favored. If this was in Detroit, certainly two touchdowns.
Bengals the only team with more punting yards than offensive yards right now in the league.
How about that for a football stat of the day?
Good Lord.
All right, Sunday Night Football, Drake May versus Josh Allen in Buffalo. Patriots, Bills, broadest guess that spread.
Buffalo minus 4.5.
Dawson?
Kind of like what New England's got cooking, but I'm going to go Buffalo minus 6.
Buffalo as a 7.5 point favorite at home.
Oh, my.
How about this? Drake May has accounted for 77% of his team's yardage. That's more than any player in football right now.
And if they really wanted to make the playoffs, they could just make that like 95%, and they
really
would probably do it.
Really run that guy. Yeah. Okay, Monday Night Football. The Chiefs go to Jacksonville. Jacksonville 3-1. Chiefs 2-2. Jags at home. Broadest guess that spread.
Kansas City minus 3.
Yeah. It's in Jacksonville?
Yeah.
2.5.
Chiefs by 3.5. Road favorites right there. Not trusting Liam Cohen and Trevor Lawrence. All right. Got a couple of baseball MLB postseason stat of the days for you. And we will be getting, right now you have the Cubs up 3-0 on the Padres. Just winner go home style, bottom of the seventh.
Yeah, just had a challenge of a... Cubs tried to get a runner home, and he was tagged out at the plate, but it was a challenge. It was upheld and out. So still 3-0.
Congrats to the Detroit Tigers of Detroit, first MLB team to win a postseason series immediately after losing 5 straight series to end the regular season. They just totally limped in. They fumble farted away the division. And they still found a way to get it done.
They pulled the Rangers. They won the one game on like a Saturday to get in instead of Houston. And then just went right back to laying an egg. And then they come back against the team that they gave up, what, a 15-game lead on?
Yep, 15, yeah.
What a roller coaster.
Seriously, dude. It's crazy. Tonight's game will be the fourth winner-take-all postseason game between the Red Sox and Yankees. It will tie the matchup with the Yankees versus the Dodgers for the most such games between any two MLB teams. And the Red Sox running out Connelly early. First pitcher ever to start a winner-take-all postseason game within 30 days of his MLB debut. He's played like pitched like under 20 innings at this point. ERA is pretty dang good. Sitting at like a 2.6 or so. But, man, that's a lot to ask. Can you imagine? You made your MLB debut just a few weeks ago, and now winner take all. Bo Sox versus the Yanks. Whew. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's
legends are made.
It's crazy that neither organization has a more accomplished third starter, because his counterpart, Schlittler, didn't throw many innings either. More, but it's not like he had a full season.
Okay, so I have...
That's why the Rangers needed to be in. You know?
Oh, I know.
Pitching would have got through all this, you know?
Yeah, you're getting punch-outs galore.
Ugh.
It's crazy, dude. Oh. It's a bunch of bullshit.
It is, man. Well said.
Chicago!
Holy Chicago! So, we do have some unfortunate culinary news here with one of our favorite restaurants. Did you guys see what Chili's is doing?
They're not closing, are they?
They're not closing, no.
Changing their logo.
They got the big mouth deal or whatever it's called right now. You get the sliders and the cheese sticks.
Yes, please.
It's looking fire,
it's
actually.
It's incredible, dude. And the cheeseburgers they got cooking these days, real freaking deal.
Man, I ain't mad at them.
I got nothing but love for Chili's.
Their Verde burger is excellent.
Oh, the, what is it?
With the guacamole on
Verde.
It.
The Verde burger.
Like okay. A dirty bird, but a verdy bird.
One of the all-time, like when you think about Chili's, okay, just start rattling off the queso. Things that come to me. Okay.
Baby back ribs,
good call. Sirloin steak.
The queso. Skillet queso. Don't tell me they're getting, I'll tell you what, are they getting rid of it? I'm about to go to Chili's and pick me up some of them skillets and bring home.
That's really what
those things are seasoned well.
That's what this is, man. This is a PSA to anyone who has fallen in love with over the years.
Will they sell me some
for
skillets?
For generations.
I'll go buy me a couple of them skillets.
The skillet queso. The skillet beef queso.
Yep.
The white skillet queso.
Yep.
10 out of 10 dominant. I mean, it's a must order. I don't know a single person who's ever walked into a Chili's.
You run out of chips.
Yeah.
You're always running
out.
For sure. Yep.
I don't know anyone who's ever gone there and not gotten it. But starting on October 7th, they will be introducing the Southwestern queso. Oh. They'll be doing away with the skillet beef queso and the white skillet queso.
I'm telling you, I need to go get me a cup of them skillets that they're selling.
This makes me nervous because Southwest queso sounds like tomato chunks.
It is.
Okay, yeah, so I'll read it off.
Pico de gallo plus queso.
Yeah, it's
going to be melted American, cheddar, and it's going to be roasted green chiles, sweet onion, and lime. So I'm not seeing anything about tomatoes.
Dawson just sent in
tomatoes.
The punt team on that one, didn't you?
Made me a little nervous. Onions. We can see the onion thing might cook down. The green chili sometimes can be okay.
Man, those New Mexico green chilies are unbelievable.
Oh, like the hatch green chili.
Yeah.
I think they've opened the door for Applebee's here, though, Chief. No question. Like who's gonna rise to the occasion now? Applebee's has a pretty nice queso dip and chips. You know, I think maybe a little spinach there on top.
Spinach artichoke dip. They got it. Yeah, they got that good, too.
I love that dip, dude. I love it.
Which overall do you like better?
And you could add beef.
You had to pick one or the other to go
If
to.
I had to pick, it would be Chili's. But Applebee's is right up there with great deals. And
Chili's has got that dessert, the brownie with the ice cream thing working,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah, the molten lava cake.
Gosh darn it.
They did change. I will say, the other thing that Chili's did some years ago, they screwed up one of the greatest chocolate shakes or chocolate malts ever. Like, they changed up what they did with it.
Yeah.
Used to be.
How many times would you say in your life you've gone to Chili's?
It used to be, that was like when we were doing big. That was like family night, we're doing it big, we're going to freaking Chili's, baby.
I'm going
to
say.
So I would say probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 5,000 times.
I'm going to say probably 2-3.
My man said 5,000.
I thought 500 would have been a lot.
No, honestly,
a lot of trips.
How about, I would like to think I've been there triple digits. Like, give me a hundo on the board.
How about like 2-3 times a month?
Oh, that's how you used to
pull it. If it's a go-out spot, yeah.
I mean, when I was like 16, 17 years old, it was a place to go get food before we went out.
It was always right by like the United Artists Fossil Creek movie theater. So it was just like the perfect... Hey, we're going to catch
Their
a flick.
Their fries are good, too, aren't
get
they?
Get a little Chili's action going. Yeah, the fries get it done. No question. Mm-hmm. The chicken crispers, you know. Chips and salsa are totally to die for, but the skillet queso reigns supreme. And I don't know who is behind this particular madness, but that's unfortunate,
same
man.
Same gal. That
Southwestern queso better hit like freaking crack. Yeah. If you're telling me that, like, why do you have to do away with it? Why can't you just add? Why can't it be in addition to? Why do you have to punt completely on the skillet queso.
They got tired of the skillet thing. I think
there
they
should
got,
be. The skillet's incredible.
I know, but I think they
probably
got
hard
tired.
To clean.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's kind of like you order. It's a great idea to have a juicer until you like actually use it, and then you have to clean that damn
thank
thing.
Thank you.
Yeah. And it's like, who the hell gave me this gift? You know, seriously, you go buy a juicer. It's a great idea. Oh look, healthy drinks. Oh, ha, ha. And then you have to clean that damn thing. You're like, I'm never using this thing again.
Much easier just to buy the juice.
Yeah, just go out and buy it. Yeah.
They sell those
you.
Specialty juices these days. Maybe some kombucha.
Our guy Tony in the 214 shouting out the honey mustard there at Chili's.
Never had it, but I trust you, Tony.
It's pretty dang good.
Yeah, there should almost be like a queso menu. You know, it's like its own little insert. We got all kinds of quesos.
Yes, yeah, we're Chili's. Right. Yeah, right.
Thank See, you. I think the skillet kept the queso warm because...
Heck yeah, the queso gets that thing freaking bubbling.
That's what I'm saying. When you get cold queso, it becomes like plastic.
What are we doing? Your spoon out.
Yeah, what are we doing? I mean, that's why the skillet kind of kept it going.
My favorite thing about the Chili's, Applebee's, TGI Fridays, whole genre of restaurants was the tall beers that you could get.
Oh, jeez.
Mm. You know, so you're going out for a restaurant, but you know you're going to have three of those things.
Yeah.
$2.50 at Applebee's. Yes. Tall as hell.
Yes. Uh-huh. They ask you, don't they ask you about that too, though? Would you like the tall one or the small one?
Yeah.
Yep. What, are you kidding me? Look at me.
Hey, you want mad size today?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Do you guys know the official taco of the Dallas Cowboys?
The official taco?
Bidia.
Oh, it's got the brand? The company brand?
Come on, you know it.
Come on now.
Taco Bueno.
Bang! Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Good pull, Dawson. Yeah. Okay, so this is...
I like the soft ones better than the crunchy ones.
I do
like the softies.
Yeah.
Yeah, same G's.
Yeah.
Pause.
This, I saw...
It, very NBA of you, Lucius.
Yeah.
I saw this commercial flipping through YouTube content. And I was like, wow, I can't believe this is the marketing ploy for Taco Bueno. This is marketing signed off by, of course, Jerry Jones. You'll hear it at the end. But listen to this commercial and let me know what jumps out to you.
The new Taco Bueno $6 party box is wrapped up, boxed up, and ready to crush your cravings. Pick your four favorites: taco, burrito, quesadilla, roll-up. Get it all in one party box, all for just $6. And while you're at it, grab a crisp, cool Dr. Pepper. It's crave-worthy grab-and-go satisfaction in one easy win. That's flavor. That's Bueno. That's you grabbing life by the box. Taco Bueno is the official taco of the Dallas Cowboys.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh, bro.
Grab it by the box.
Grab it by the box, the official taco of the Dallas Cowboys.
Reminds me of Don's first campaign.
Oh, he killed it. I told you, I would have been in so much trouble if he would have told that to me on the bus. Because I'd be like, what? That's crazy, bro. That's so cool. I would have been out of here.
Do it right, man. Do it like Bueno does it. Grab life by the box.
Up until the very end, I was just blown away that you were going to get four items for $6.
Yeah, it's a hell of a deal.
Yeah.
That's a box I'd like to get my hands on.
I mean, when I was going to fast food for lunch in high school, it was $2.99 a Happy Meal, you know? Mm. And we'd be like stretching to put that together. Or you could get just a regular hamburger meal for $2. $1.99, it was like an adult Happy Meal, basically. Unbelievable the food prices these days.
It is, man. It's ridiculous. By the way, speaking of food and whatnot, 360 just texted in, just spotted Wolchuk at Whataburger.
Okay.
So we'll see. Maybe the fast has ended.
It has. Sundown, right?
Sundown.
Yep, I think sundown.
Looks pretty down to me. Yep.
Wooly Bully will be back tomorrow. We'll have a Football Friday show for you. One more segment to go.
The Wooly Bully. That's a guy who grabs life by the box.
No doubt about it. Got two kids to show for it. Sorry about that. I'll move on. A Fan After Dark coming up next here on The Fan.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time to hand off to a fired up Fan After Dark crew tonight here with Fred and Blake. Gentlemen, how we doing?
Feeling phenomenal. 4 days in a row now. We're back locked and loaded with you boys, seeing y'all for Crosstalk. It's been a blessing. So just another 4 hours tonight, man. Exciting radio on the other side.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal. You said that like Rome. Are you a Jim Rome guy?
Phenomenal. You don't even know Jim Rome.
Phenomenal.
Is.
Jim Rome, radio guy. Radio guy, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not to be confused with Jim Jones, who I did do research on Ballin. The other day. Drinking the Kool-Aid.
No, not that Jim Jones.
Oh, the cold the other, Jim other Jones.
Jim yeah. Jones. Yeah. The other other.
Crazy. I watched a documentary on him a while ago, and yeah. they had the actuality of him poisoning his entire congregation, yeah. basically.
Yeah. How did people believe him? Have you seen his eyes? That's, and that was wore sunglasses?
Hence cult leaders.
Yeah, he had them fly ass sunglasses, bro.
He did.
I don't know.
He sure
that
did.
Hair was always Ray-Bans? Sharp. Yeah, he was fly, bro.
What was he wearing? Tell you what, shout out to the basketball team. Yep. All right, because they're the only ones that survived.
Yeah.
Have you ever wanted to be a basketball player more?
Him and Koresh down in Waco, though, they were charming dudes. Boy, out of their wives.
They sure were.
Like, send your wife to my
they
room.
They sure were.
You know, get her closer to God. I'll send her back. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Shout out to Garland. That's where your boy Koresh is from.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And that's why y'all are a filler silly.
Garland, stand up.
Garland, yeah. stand up. Movers it's not just any city or suburb here in the DFW can claim a famous cult leader.
That's probably a good thing.
Just saying.
There's not that many of them.
There's really not.
That's why Hagee lives out there. He's looking to pick up where
it's
he left off.
It's not a competitive sport right now.
What's coming up on the show tonight, gentlemen?
Well, we are going to talk to former Boch pitcher Jeremy Affeldt. He won three World Series with Boch. So we're talking to him at 8 o'clock, just kind of a little behind the scenes on Boch, kind of, you know, what does he think kind of went wrong this year? For this Rangers team, and does he think Boch has done? And was there anything that he might have seen differently from his tenure with the Rangers versus back when he had them and they were winning World Series a decade ago?
Yeah, it's odd to me that maybe Boch could be done in this entire time, the last couple of years, where you're like, well, he's won the World Series. There's no way they're moving on for him. That maybe the Rangers wanted to move on and nobody else wants him. He's 70. He's won four. That's not super old.
Well, not just that, but I mean, Ron Washington, I didn't realize he was 74. And hell, the only reason he got let go is because he had a heart surgery, for crying out loud. So, you know, I said on the air, the thing about Boch, when you'd listen to him on his daily pregame show, it didn't sound like the game had passed him by.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he was still locked in. And I mean, yes, are there questions you had throughout the course of the year from time to time? Yes. But I mean, did we think night in, night out, like, okay, Boch has lost his fastball, you know, pun intended?
No.
I didn't think so.
No, he was still sharp. I think the only thing that maybe he lost was he just got too nice. Be interesting to hear what Jeremy Affeldt, you said?
Jeremy Affeldt, yeah.
Has say, you know, how did he keep guys accountable?
That's a croak. You know what? I'm going to use that.
Was he a tone setter?
I'm using that from Gavin Dawson.
He just seems so nice, you know? And sometimes you have a guy like Shoddy, you're like, wow, he's super nice. I wonder if he's got the ability to get up in your kitchen if he needs to. And then he showed that in training camp. He absolutely does. You want to bleep and fight? Let's run.
Are you guys as worried about this game Sunday?
Considering
that some concerns, yeah.
Considering that, you know, yeah. the Jets are 0-4 and yeah. You might have, what, 3-4 of your starting offensive linemen missing?
And a wide receiver, a couple
your
of
linebackers them. Aren't yeah. good. You can't set the edge.
Yeah, I mean, this defense is bad enough. Every game's a concern.
The corners are, we're figuring out they like man or zone.
Yeah.
Beefing with the DC. Our safety's out. Yeah, it's gonna be an interesting week of football. I let you guys know. I started Justin Fields in fantasy, so
yeah,
I feel pretty confident about that play. Yeah.
Dawson was suggesting we go to the moan defense. We have man on one side, zone on the rest.
Okay, who's making that call? Eberflus before the play, or is that on the play? We just kind of vibe that out.
I think you let Wanye call that.
Maybe shake that out one time.
Maybe Kenny Clark from D tackle just zone over here.
Or do you just you just grab him by the box? Taco Bueno style.
Hey, man.
They have been good in the box this year so far.
Great in the box. Yeah.
I wonder if they'll still
stack
be.
Stack box has been good for them.
The best run defense.
Light box has not been so good.
On both sides.
That by Bueno way, box
you,
is stacked.
By the way, have you had the taco burger?
No, I heard taco you talking bueno? About it. I can't wait to try it, man.
Okay. No, with all due respect, try the taco burger.
Kind of feel like I'm an adult now.
I'm heading for tacos. That's all I know on my way home after these last two segments. Here comes the Fan After Dark with Fred
hey,
and Blake.
Skillet queso.
Thanks
get
to Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup. Yes, Chili's skillet queso on an endangered species. I got to get out of here. I don't know what the hell's going on today. Let's rock. For Lucius Alexander, the Pimp Cub at Master Control here, 75 and Fitchy. For Chief and Broadus, I'm Gavin Dawson. Here comes the Fan After Dark. Till tomorrow at 2, you're going on with the Nation. Natties.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.